Harold Franklin, pastor of New Creation Christian Center. We're located at 7728 Rainier Avenue South. We have services on Saturday at 7 p.m. till 8:30 p.m. Please come out and join us. You'll be encouraged by the Word of God. You'll be stirred by the presence of God, and you'll witness the power of God in your life. So we look forward to seeing you in the future real soon. God bless you. All right, so let's pray, and then we'll get started. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the fact that we can look into your word and find direction for every arena of our lives if we are willing to submit to your authority. So, Lord God, your word declares that we need to seek your kingdom and your righteousness, and all these things would be added unto us. And Lord, as we seek your kingdom, that means that we have to not only seek it, but surrender to it. And Father, we pray that you would help us to surrender to your word, surrender to your spirit in every arena of our lives. For this is truly holiness as you've proclaimed it in your word. So Lord, I pray that you would give us ears to hear what your spirit is saying, so that we could do the things that you've called us to do, in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. Last time I was talking about a number of scenarios of where people took advantage of those that were not as well off. And I call it rent a furniture or something like that. And of course, that's not the name of it, and I said that on purpose. But the point to that was not to put down these companies, but the point is that if you want to acquire something, sometimes it's better to save the money and buy it outright as opposed to trying to take advantage of what they call deals or specials and allow yourself to be taken in and paying way more for the item that you got than it was actually worth. And so my point was not so much that the companies were bad or that, but that we as individuals can get caught up into trying to obtain things, and we're taken advantage of because we're just impatient. And so the key is that if you want to buy something, be patient and save for it, and purchase it in a way that it's not going to be a detriment to you, but a blessing. Amen? One of the things that I have always done for Christmas, you know, a lot of people say, well, yeah, you know, I bought all these Christmas presents, and, you know, I'll still be paying for them next year. How many have heard people say stuff like that? That means they did what? Yeah, they charged it. And I made it a point that whatever I bought for Christmas, I paid cash for it, and we don't have to worry about it 6 months later still paying for it. So if we didn't have the money, we just didn't get it. It was just that simple. And I did that because I don't like to pay things monthly if I don't have to. If I could pay something off, all the better. And it was important, especially when you're self-employed, because sometimes your money does not come monthly and you can't pay it. So it's better to just pay it off on the front end than to try to say, okay, I'll do this. I mean, even when I bought cars, in some cases, I just paid cash for them, or I tried to pay them off early. But I end up losing a couple of cars because I could not maintain the payments when I was first in practice, because my money, like I said, the money was not regular. So I learned that sometimes if you want something, it's best to just wait, save for it, and then get it. If you do that, then you avoid some of the traps that the world has out there for us. Now, it's not so much that they're trying to trap us, but it's sometimes people, because of the sin nature, because of greed, and because of people trying to take advantage of other people, we get caught up into the I need it now or I want it now syndrome. And that's what the world trains us or tries to, and that's really what commercials are all about. You know, you see something on TV, you say, man, that looks nice, I want that. And then we go out and buy it the next day, and of course it's never what we think it is, but nevertheless, that's how they try to rope us in. So I just wanted to clarify that and just kind of close out that portion of it. I think I may have gotten to this, but if I didn't, it bears repeating anyway. So one of the things that we looked at was that some of the ways that God was not pleased in how we obtained wealth, and I just want to go over those things real quickly. We see from these scriptures, and that was the scriptures that we referred to, number one, God is not pleased with wealth by any means. In other words, you cannot get rich by any means and call it the blessing of God. A lot of times, and we need to get this right in the church, because a lot of people are wealthy, and a lot of people say, well, I want to thank God for all that he's done for me. But then when you look at how they got their money, you cannot attribute the way they got their money to being blessed by God. Okay? And sometimes the church doesn't look at the how, and we just look at the now. But God always looks at the how. He's not always interested in the end result. He's lots of time, he wants to know, how did you get there? And he wants the how to be right, and then the now would also be right. Are you with me? So we cannot just obtain wealth by any means. The second thing we see is that the over-desire to pursue wealth leads us into trouble. If you're so bent on trying to be rich, I remember when I was, I think it was when I was in my 20s, I said, yeah, by 35, I want to be a millionaire and all those kinds of stuff. And you know, you just, but at the same time, even though I said that, I was not just looking to get it any way I could. I always tried to be led by the Spirit in what I did. But everybody doesn't do that. Some people just want to get to the goal. And so we have to be careful that the over-desire to pursue wealth doesn't take us off the track of righteousness. Are you with me here? We want to be righteous in every pursuit of our life. And the tragedy of the church, unfortunately, is sometimes it's like we only want to be righteous when we're in this building. We're, oh, praise the Lord, brother. Oh, praise the Lord, sister. How you doing? Oh, I'm blessed of the Lord. Thank you. And how are you, sister? And I'm blessed of the Lord. You're lying through your teeth because you know you're mad at somebody. You don't like somebody. You're not walking in the Spirit. You don't even like your spouse. Your kids are driving you crazy. And you know you're not really truly telling people what's going on. And we can't live our lives like that anymore. You know, God is turning on spotlights in the lives of Christian people. You know what that means? You know what a spotlight does? It shows everything around you that you're in. And we will begin to see, and we have always seen this, but people that have lived lives that look like they were living something, but it turns out that they weren't really living what they said they were living. Now, you might say, well, you know, that's not a good thing, and absolutely that's not a good thing, but on the other side, it is a good thing because that lets people in the body, and see, this is how we have to look at, you know, we see things happen to big-name preachers or just people that are in the limelight, and we say, man, that's terrible. But it's terrible that they tried to do what they did. But it's actually revelational because it shows us that God doesn't play anymore still. He will reveal to you and to others if you don't get yourself right. And that's the good of it. And I guarantee you, just like he gave David opportunities to fix the situation, he gives people opportunities, even before expositions happen. He will give you opportunities to fix it. He will tell you, Harold, if you don't get this right, I'm going to have to expose this. Now, he may not actually come out and say that, but he'll say, Harold, you need to get that right. And then, Harold, you need to get that right. And Harold says, but nobody really knows. Nobody knows what I'm doing. Harold, you need to get it right. God, I've gotten it right with you. Isn't that enough? Harold, you need to go and confess this to someone. I can't, Lord. I'll be embarrassed. I'll be made a fool of. And that's what the enemy does. But then what happens when the whole world knows? Guess how embarrassed you are now? Had you just went and gotten some accountability, you could have avoided the big embarrassment. And that's why it's so important for us to be accountable in everything we do. And so that's dealing with, even with wealth things, we want to make sure that we're not being led by our own desires. And then the final point that we learn from this is wealth obtained through taking advantage of others is improperly obtained. All right, did you follow that? If you get wealthy by taking advantage of others improperly, taking advantage of others, that's wealth that is improperly obtained. Now, that does not mean that you cannot be in business and make a profit. A lot of people say, well, that means I can't make... No, you can charge more than what you paid for a product. That's called a profit. That is not wrong. But it's wrong if you sell products that you say do one thing and they don't do what you say they do. That is wrong. And that's why they have people like me, lawyers, to sue you for doing stuff like that. So these are the things that we have to avoid when it comes to dealing with material things. Other requirements God has imposed on us or those that are blessed with material possessions was that he requires them us to be generous. He requires us to be generous. See, the way you keep from loving money, everybody say, how do you stop from loving money? You give it away freely. Because if you love something, usually you don't want to do what? Give it away. So if you're generous, chances are you cannot be generous and love money at the same time. Are you with me here? And so it's okay, everybody say it's okay, to have a lot of money. It is okay. Everybody, do you believe that? Look at your neighbor and say, it's okay to have a lot of money. But it's more important to be generous. It's more important, if you're going to have a lot, you need to be generous. You can't be cheap. You can't be stingy. You can't be, I got mine, they got to get theirs. That's the wrong attitude. And unfortunately, that's how most rich people are. Why should I give them? Well, I ain't got, you know, I worked hard for my money. Well, yeah, you did, but so what? You're not going to be able to keep it after you're dead anyway. You know, I mean, if you think about, John Rockefeller. How many know who John Rockefeller is? John D., the first one. John D. Rockefeller was the, basically, he was the oil magnate. He was the one that made oil got oil to the level that we now use it. He was responsible for that. He made, and this is in the 1900s, folks. He made billions of dollars in the 1900s. His family is still living off the money he made 3 generations later. They haven't worked a day in their life. They're all politicians. They're all, some of them are, you know, all these people, you know. But he gave a lot of his money away. And actually, it was I think his father was a preacher. And he believed in giving. But the point is, he couldn't spend it all in his lifetime. And his kids ain't been able to spend it all. His kids' kids haven't been able to spend it all. And their kids' kids' kids won't spend it all. So you just need to be generous with what you get. I mean, if you get $1 billion, there's no way you can't spend $1 billion. It will take 5 lifetimes to spend $1 billion. And that's if you spend $1,000 a day for the rest of your life. It'll take 300 years to spend $1 billion if you spend $1,000 a day for the rest of your, well, of course, that's beyond your lifetime. 300 years. And then who spends $1,000 a day? I mean, that's $360,000 a year. Yeah, okay, you can buy a car, you can buy this, but sooner or later, that's every day for the rest of your life. You're just like, I don't want to see another store. I don't want to see another car. I don't want another suit. I don't want anything. I got too much stuff. That's what would happen if you tried to do it. I mean, you guys seen all those stupid movies where these people had to spend money in a certain period of time to get the rest of the money? And I can't remember the movie because I didn't see it. I just heard about it. Yeah, that's a stupid movie. I've seen the old versions. There was an old version, the same movie, where this guy, and this is like when I say old version, like in the 40s, same thing. He had to spend a certain amount of money before he could get the rest of the money. And he goes crazy because he can't do it. He's trying. He said, well, you can only give a certain amount away. You can only do this a certain time. It's crazy. And that's why if you're going to get a lot, be generous with what you have. And I started out this discussion to say, wouldn't it be nice to be able to buy cars, houses for people that need it? Wouldn't it be nice to build churches for places that, you know, have church and huts, grass huts? You know, in America, you know, most of us take it for granted that we could have church in a building, but you go to third world countries, they just throw up a grass hut and start having church. And believe God has blessed them immensely for the grass hut. Whereas we're mad because our building's only 6x10 or 12x12 or 20x20. I mean, this is what money is for. It's a vehicle to get people to achieve or accomplish what God has called us to achieve and accomplish. So the next point is, the first part of being generous is that we need to be, everybody say, pay our tithes. See, that's why the tithing system was instituted, is to keep God's people from being greedy. Of course, it serves another purpose, right? It serves the purpose of supporting the ministry and getting the word of God out to the world. Do you know that, I think, and I can't remember what the exact statistics, I guess I should have looked up, but I think it's less than 10% of the church pays their tithes regularly. I'm talking about worldwide. Less than 10%. And there's no wonder why the church can't do a lot, because the people in the church are not faithful to pay their tithes. And again, this is not a tithe message, but the point is, that's what keeps us from stumbling over the material question, possession question, is if we first give our tithes and then give our offerings. Now, and when up there it says tithes were first mentioned in Genesis 14:20, and in 28:22. I'm not going to go there, but because I believe that's the story. One was Abraham paid a tithe to Melchizedek, And then the other one was Jacob dedicating to pay a tenth of everything he got when he was going to, I think it was Laban, was it? Jacob went to Laban. So that's when the tithe system was spoken of initially in Scripture. But then we see in the, I forgot the chapter. I think that's Leviticus 18. But in Leviticus, the system was established to support the ministry of the Levites. All right? So the high priest, the people that worked in the temple, all those people, they didn't get lands and possessions like the children of Israel did. You guys know the story, right? They didn't get to get cities and stuff like that. Now, they did give them cities for the flocks and the sheep before the sacrifices, but that was all the land they got. So their reward was that the people supported the Levites through the tithe system. So if the people didn't give their tithes, then the priests were not able to survive. And so the final point is to be generous to those that are in need. We see this throughout the scriptures. There's a couple scriptures there, Genesis 15, 7 through 11, Proverbs 22, 9. But it's not a command to help or to give to idle people or those that have chosen to squander what they have. In other words, and let me just make it plain, you're not obligated to support beggars on the street that just won't work. What's that? I'm not sure what that means, but you're not obligated to spend. You're not obligated to support people that you know have habits that are self-destructive. So when people come up to you and you know they're either on drugs or they're drunk, or and they ask you, "Hey, can you give me money?" No, don't give them money. And this guy asked me. I get asked for money every day downtown. And I just tell them no. There's sometimes I give it to them, but most of the time, no. And I ask them, why aren't you working? Why don't you go to Labor Ready, work the day, and get paid? What's wrong with you? And most of them are not injured. Most of them are not sick. They just don't want to work. And I'm not obligated to support people that don't want to work. It's just that simple. And Christians are always troubled about, should I give money to this person to give money? Let me just help you. If they're not doing something if they're doing something they're not supposed to be doing, don't do it. Period. And that just takes the pressure off you. And then one guy, usually I don't have cash on me anyway. I use most of the time I use a debit card. So this guy asked me for money, and I says, "Do you take debit cards?" He said, "No." I said, "Well, I can't help you then, man." I asked him, "Do you take debit cards?" He said, "No." I said, "I can't help you then." I said, "I don't have any money." But he kept asking me. I said, "I don't have any money." And he says, "Well, can't you just help me out?" I said, "Do you take debit cards?" And he said, "No." And I said, "Then I can't help you because I don't have any money." I mean, it's just, and these are the kinds of things. And see, we have to be wise in how we give. We can't be stupid. We can't be gullible, and we can't just allow people to take advantage of us. Or if you feel that you want to help somebody that's on the street, they say they're hungry. You see the signs that say, "I'm hungry, anything can help." Go buy them some food then. Yeah, I mean, I've taken a guy, this guy was begging. I said, "Here, let's go to Pizza Hut then. Come on. You're hungry? Are you really hungry? Let's go eat." I paid for him to eat, gave him bus fare to go where he was going, and that was the end of it. And when I used to fast on Wednesdays and Annis would make my lunch, I would take my lunch and give it to the people that are sitting there begging. I'm not eating it, so you can have it. And some of them would say, "I don't want it." Okay, well, obviously your sign is wrong. you said you were hungry. So I guess keep finding the next one until somebody takes it. So if you, it's best to help those people that are addictive or in addictive types of lifestyles in ways that you're not giving them money. Because that, unfortunately, money in their situation will lead to their destruction. Are you with me here? So we have to be wise in that. All right. Let me see if we can close this part out. The last part of this is talking about recreational activities and leisure things. Things that we do when we want to kind of put get on the download or slow down or take it easy. Now, the first qualifying thing is that there's not a lot of scriptures in the Bible that talk about this area. All right? And let me tell you why. Because the Bible was on what's called an agrarian system. You guys know what agrarian means? I mean, they were farmers. That means that farmers work like what? They work when? No, not sun up to sundown all year round. They work sun up to sundown from spring, the beginning of spring, to the end of summer. They don't harvest in the fall. They don't harvest in the winter. They don't work in the field in the winter. Am I right about it? Yeah, they harvest at the beginning in the middle of fall, but after the grounds, everybody knows things don't grow in the fall, late fall. Yeah. But you don't work. What I'm saying is you don't farm all year round. There are times where you don't work. Am I right? A little bit. Okay. That's another way of saying I'm right. Right? Okay. So there was a lot of time where they didn't have to work, and they were therefore had a lot of leisure time. But in our day and age, we work all the time, and usually all we do is get 2 weeks off, a month off, maybe 2 months off if you've been on a job long enough. So the system, they didn't really talk about leisure a lot. But let me just give a few things that I think we need to look at when we're talking about leisure time, downtime, recreational activities. Number one, we engage in these things when we have free time. We said that. We engage in these things when we have extra money, okay? So money's involved. And then third, we engage in these things when we want to take our minds off of our troubles. Usually people go on vacation, go skiing, go skating, go whatever they do to try to get unwind, to get away from their normal daily activities, right? You go out to dinner, you do whatever the leisure activity you go into. So we can look at Deuteronomy 8:13 through 15, and I want to just pull out some, this is what you call rightfully discerning the word on this subject, because there is no scripture that you can point to that directs you on this area, but you have to take the principles of scripture and tie them together. Are you with me here? Say amen. All right, so let's go to Deuteronomy 8:13 through 15, and it says this, when your herds and your flocks multiply and your silver and your gold are multiplied and all that you have is multiplied, when your heart is lifted up and you forget the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage, who led you through the great and terrible wilderness in which were fiery serpents and scorpions and thirsty land, and where there was no waste water, who brought water for you out of the flinty rock, who fed you in the wilderness with manna, which your fathers did not know, that he might humble you and might test you, to do you good in the end, then you say in your heart, my power and my might and the might of my hand have gained me this wealth, and you shall remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant which he swore to your fathers as it is this day. Now, I read a little bit more, because if I stopped in the middle, that it wouldn't have the point would have been missed. So the first thing is that to remember who and why and how you got what you got. When you're about to engage in your leisurely activities. Don't forget that it's because of God's mercy, his blessing, that you have what you have. And because of that, let's go to the next passage, which is Proverbs 3, 5 through 7, which most of us probably have memorized, right? Trust in the Lord with, and what? All right, it says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him and he shall direct your paths. You guys are quoting the NIV probably, right? And do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. And it goes on, it will be health to your flesh and strength to your bones. So now, first of all, we have to remember that God was the provider of what we have. Secondly, we don't want to lean on our own understanding, but we want to do what? Trust in the Lord and acknowledge him in all our ways. Okay? Now, is an activity a way? It's something that you're doing, so it's something that you're going to do. So you're acknowledging him in the activities that in which you engage. That's what it means to trust him and lean not on your own understanding. And then the last couple of passages we want to go through, let's go to Luke 12, 22 through 34. And I'm not, yeah, I guess I could read it because it's probably not, where are we? Yeah, we'll be all right. 12:22 through 34 says this. Then he said to his disciples, therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat, nor what you, or your body, what you shall put, will put on. Life is more than food, and the body is more than clothing. You guys know that part, so let's go down to the end. Let's go to 30. For all these things the nations of the world seek after, and your Father knows that you need these things, but seek the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added to you. And it says, do not fear, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Sell what you have and give alms. Provide yourselves money bags which do not grow old, a treasure in the heavens that does not fail, where no thief approaches nor moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. So the thing here is that we know that these things, but if we keep seeking God, that he will provide all the things that we need. Now, I hope you're catching a theme here, but let's go to the last one, Philippians 4, 6. Again, a popular passage most of us have memorized. And I'm also going to read Philippians 4, 6, and 7. And it says, be anxious for nothing. Everybody knows what anxious means, right? All right. He said, But in everything, everybody say in everything. Now, what does everything cover? Does it cover the activities you're about to do? Does it cover your jobs that you want to take? Does it cover the relationships you want to get into? So everything means everything. The Greek word for everything is everything. So is the Hebrew, everything. So but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. So, what is the principle that we see here? First of all, remember God has provided everything you have. Secondly, trust him with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. Don't think you now have become big enough to make the decisions for yourself, is what that passage really means. And that's what the Deuteronomy passage goes through. You are so prosperous now, now you think you did it all. But he said, but remember that it's the Lord your God who gave you the power to get this stuff. And then you see in Luke, he says, if you seek first the kingdom of God, all these things will be added. And then it says, don't be anxious for anything, but by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let everything, all requests be made known to God. So when you engage in activities, recreational activities, you have to make sure that, first of all, you've sought God about it. You know that you know the mind of God about what you're about to engage in. And it is in the will of God that about what you're about to engage in. Now, that leaves a lot of things to do, right? Right? There's still a lot of stuff out here, but let me just point out a few things that we should try to avoid. Let me go to Colossians 3:23, which gives us kind of an overriding principle that covers most of this stuff. All right, Colossians 3:23, and it says, "And whatever you do," everybody say, "Whatever you do." Come on, say it like you mean it. "Do it heartily as to the Lord and not to men." That should be the principle that governs every activity that we engage in. Whatever we do, do it heartily unto the Lord. Or another, I think the NIV says, do it with your whole heart, right? So let's see some of the things we need to avoid. Number one, we need to avoid those things that exalt the sin nature in us. So what's the sin nature? Huh? The flesh, right. But what is the flesh made up of? Lusts. So things that excite lusts in us that are inappropriate, we should try to avoid when we deal with recreational activities. So pornography is out. You don't need to fast and pray about that. Pornography is out. Many movies are out for the same reason, because they excite lusts that don't belong in your life. You should not be lusting for Beyonce. Or what's the guy? Huh? What's the guy? Columbia Short? Columbus Short. You should not be lusting for him. These are people you don't need to watch them shaking everything they got, because that's not taking your mind in a place where God wants you to go. Am I telling the truth here or what? And if you want to see somebody shake, tell your wife to get on the bed and shake. Or tell your husband, babe, get on the bed and shake. But that's the only one that you should have eyes for. Anything else is exciting a lust that's outside the will of God. Am I right? I know this is tough, but this is the real deal, folks. This is the if you want to avoid secret affairs in your mind, you avoid watching things that excite lust in your life. I'm talking to men, I'm talking to women, and it's no different. All right, second thing, avoid those things that exalt false religions and doctrines contrary to the scriptures, to what the scriptures teach. Let me read these passages. So let's go back to Romans 13, 13, and 14. And then the other one is in Romans 2. That's why I decided to just read them. So Romans 13 says, let us walk properly as in the day, not in revelry. Revelry means riotous party, not in drunkenness, not in lewdness and lust, and not in strife and envy, but put on the Lord Jesus, and this is the part, 14, and make no, what? Provision for the flesh. Now, what does provision mean? Yeah, make no allowance. If I make provision for my family, that means I have provided them with the opportunity to do. So he says here, don't make any provision. In other words, cut the flesh's allowance off. Don't pay for your flesh to be excited. In other words. And then it goes on to say, that's all right, for the flesh to fulfill its lust, or lusts, plural. We have to be willing to cut the flesh off, and that is in every arena of our lives. All right? Romans 12:9 says this, let love be without hypocrisy, abhor that what is evil, cling to what is good. The evil, of course, is talking about things, and then this takes us to Halloween. The reason why, and again, we're not to be afraid of Halloween, but Halloween is, you know, it's considered to be a high, and you can't really use the word holy with evil because that's like an oxymoron, but it's a high holy day for witches. And they go through their incantations, and in many cases, they try to find black animals to sacrifice during this plea. This is why the black cats theme is all out there. They, you know, a lot of times you see dogs, taken and sacrificed, mostly black dogs. The reason my wife was saying our dog, we put it up because our dog was a black German Shepherd, not fully black, but he was black, mostly. So these are days that Satan tries to use to exalt his own kingdom. So we don't participate in those things, but it's okay to try and seize it back. So when churches have harvest days, or bring kids into the church and preach the gospel. Like I said, I used to turn the lights off on trick-or-treaters, and I was like, I don't want them at my house. So I don't celebrate. But then I got, God said, well, why don't you just put tracks in the bag with the candy, and, somebody might get saved that day. So that's what I did. I had to dig up some tracks. I said, man, I got to have some tracks. So I found some. So I got to go home tonight, tomorrow morning, put them in a bag, put the candy in a bag, and by the way, my wife has to repent because I'm not addicted to chocolate. I eat chocolate, but I am not addicted to chocolate. And all I was trying to do was try to see what she was doing with the bags. How are you going to make the bags? What are you putting in the bags? Because I will get a bag. So I want to know what's in the bag. But anyway, So we want to stay away from those things. Movies that deal with witchcraft, and I'm going to throw one out, Harry Potter. The church has been enamored with this guy, and all it's talking about is witchcraft. Is witchcraft this, Harry Potter and the something wizard? I mean, they don't even hide it. I don't even know the titles, but you guys know them names, right? I mean, things like that, churches ought not to get caught up into, because that's exalting the dark side. I mean, and then we have to be careful even about some of the, there's so much witchcraft and cartoons now, it's not even funny. And you got to be careful what your kids are watching on television. Because and it's not an accident, they put it in cartoons. They are trying to proselytize our children with witchcraft. So you have to be careful about those things. 3, avoid those things that lead you or others to stumble. That's Romans 14:13. It says here, therefore, let us not judge one another anymore, but rather resolve this, not to put a stumbling block or a cause to fall in our brother's way. Now, what does that mean? That means that you have to take the high road. in most relationships. That means that if there's something that you do, you have to be careful not to do it around people that you would cause to stumble. And this is why we're our brothers and sisters' keeper. We shouldn't walk around, you know, folks that aren't married, we shouldn't walk around, especially those of us that are muscular like me. You shouldn't walk around, walk around the house with people, women that are not your spouse, with your shirt off all the time. Or in a wife beater, as they call it. I hate that. Don't call those things. Those are tank tops. They're t-shirts, really. That's all they are. Don't walk around if you're muscular, trying to entice every woman that to look at you. I was muscular. I'm not as I used to be. But don't entice people. Women, the same thing. Don't show all you have to everybody that you see. Don't entice people. We talked about that before, right? We don't want to cause people to stumble. I don't want a woman to coming up to me and say, "Man, you know, I just really need to get with you." I mean, what am I going to say if somebody says something? I mean, like, what are you talking about? Yeah, but holy water ain't going to work at that point. I have to go back and figure out, what did I do to encourage this? Fourth thing, avoid those things that prevent us from putting on the mind of Christ. Putting on the mind of Christ. And I'm already over time. I'm sorry, 22, so I can't really go into that. But Ephesians 4, 17 through 24 talks about how to put on the mind of Christ. So if you want to go over that, you can read it. And the last point that we're going to make of this is, don't engage in inappropriate language, inappropriate jokes, dirty jokes, or dirty stories. Christians ought not to be the dirtiest mouth people around. Oh, man, let me tell you about this story I heard. I don't want to hear it, man. Oh, no, it's funny. I don't want to hear it. It's about these, I don't want to hear it. I mean, you know, people like that, they come, tell you, I don't want to hear that stuff, man. That's not funny. I mean, sometimes when we were younger, we thought it was funny. I ain't going to act like I'm holier than thou. I laughed at stupid stories, too. And told a lot of them. But then I realized, that's not funny. When you put people down or you talk about stuff in the back, that's not funny. So we have to avoid those kinds of situations. And even avoid watching shows that do those things. I never forget this, and I'm going to close. After I got saved, I was at home, and a friend of mine was fixing my car, and it was like Saturday Night Live was on. This is when Eddie Murphy was on Saturday Night Live. And I never watched Saturday Night Live, but I was cold, warming up, and my family was in there watching Saturday Night Live, and they were doing crass and crude stuff that Saturday Night Live does, and I'm just got hypnotized, and Annis comes in there, and she says, "Harold, get out of here! You know he wasn't no business." Jumped up, and they turned the TV off and went to bed. I said, because she knew, I knew she was right. I had no business getting involved in a story that was no good. And it took her to be courageous enough to shake up the whole house. I mean, everybody went to bed. Nobody wanted to find out about what happened in that story. But that's what we have to be willing to do. Shut it off when it's gotten ugly. Shut it down. Amen. Let's stand.
Well, thank you very much for listening to the message. I hope your life was touched. I hope God spoke to your heart. If you want more messages, you can reach us at newcreationcc.blogspot.com, or you can go to itunes.com and download other podcast messages. Also, if you'd like to get a hold of us, our phone number is area code 206 206- 402-3118. And our email address is newcreationcc@comcast.net. We look forward to hearing from you. May God bless you and keep you is our prayer.